here it is. It's called But Who Was Fulcanelli? Okay, we got it. All right, so I will, and this is from 1982. Zappa put out three guitar albums, just instrumental guitar music that he'd recorded in studios and concerts. And so this is disc two of three discs. So, so Bert, we're going to play this, and then and it's only 2:49, and then Kansas, which is something else. I think it's a little longer. Let me just put this back into order. All right, so are we ready? We are now officially starting the Zappa portion of the program, as Ian would say. So everybody's muted. This is called
But Who Is.
Yes, everybody wrap their force fields and bring your butler forcelings over to prop you up. Make sure the pillows are nice and comfortable. You got your tea and sandwiches. And we will now do But Who Was Fulcanelli? But Who Was Fulcanelli? Like someone was talking to Frank. Now, you can read about him in that book that came out in the late 60s called The Morning of the Magicians. There's a section on Fulcanelli. And so that'd be around the time Frank would have heard about it, maybe, because that book was popular in the counterculture. So Frank, this person goes on about Fulcanelli, I'm imagining. And then Frank goes, yeah, but who was Fulcanelli? It's Frank's question. All right. Didn't work. Just a second. All right, clicking on it. Oh, wait, I better make sure all my buttons are open. Okay, that button's open. That's open. Sound. Yeah. Okay, this should work.
Thank you.
didn't catch a hook in there, Roxy. Did you hear any hooks? You know, successful song has to have a hook.
What do you mean a hook?
It's usually a chord or a refrain or a phrase.
With the guitar.
Beg your pardon?
Yes.
Let me use the sound. Yes, go ahead.
Yes, he's talking. He's making patterns.
Good point.
It's
fast?
Music for musicians is not like a simple melody that he repeats. It's this chorus that is a little more complex than the usual melody.
Right. I like your idea. He's talking. Now, is he talking fast? Is it a fast conversation?
Well, I suppose that's how he would talk.
Yeah.
It does have the cadence of his voice.
Oh, that's neat. I can't say I hear that.
Because when you listen to his interviews or when you listen to you channeling him through the Evergreens, his, like, cadence of the way he talks is kind of, like, notable.
Is that right? Okay.
And it's similar to some of these.
Can you imitate it?
Well, it's like da-da-da, da-da-da-da-da. Like, it kind of always goes down. Some of the intervals are similar, it seems like.
Right. Well, that's interesting. I think I get that. Roxy,
you can hear that in those guitar.
Yeah, Roxy analyzes his vocal cadences. Do you agree with Alyssa, Roxy? Da-da-da, and
yes.
It goes down? Yes. Yes. Let's see. What else say about that?
Bob, it also sounds like when he plays that lead in that clip there, he's playing the up in the upper part of the fret of the guitar, his leads. Most of the guys now or before, after Frank, always went to the lower part like Hendrix and everything, but his lead guitar goes all over the place. It sounds like he's using the upper frets of the guitar when he's doing it.
Right.
For me, I haven't tried to play the guitar. It sounds like it.
Did you say you never played the guitar?
I have.
Oh, so you know the guitar a little bit. Yeah, Roxy, go ahead.
Yeah.
Yes, I think the interest of Zappa and Falconelli was two things. Two of the main topics that Falconelli was talking about in his books was this big opus magnus that some groups were trying to keep all this knowledge since Egypt, and they were write it in the stone in the cathedrals. That's the Mystery of the Cathedrals, the first book, and the second is called Le Demeure Philosophique, like the houses of the philosophies. It's a little expanded, not only to cathedrals, but the type of buildings with these inscriptions, like Chambord. And these books were made in the 20s. And many people got interested in this type of esoteric knowledge and trying to understand all these symbols in all the cathedrals and what was the meaning. But another very important idea in Falconelli was that he said the real alchemists had a special language called la langue verte, the green language or the language of the birds, which is a type of language that would communicate with animals, with angels, with anything. And they say that's the language of Adam in the garden. And the cathedrals were mainly like a big resonance box. that were able to amplify sound and to make you look up. And they were not a book of stone, but really an encyclopedia of everything what the people knew. Like, they will take 200 years or more to construct one. And there are many anomalies. Like, they will think they will not even know how they are going to solve a problem. They started in the 12th century to construct like crazy. And there are these glass windows. Some
there are
look
these
like
what? Thematic. I missed that word. They're,
line muted.
The big glass windows.
Yeah.
Many look like thematic geometries, you know, the figures that deal with sound.
Yeah.
And so one may ask themselves, what do they really knew about the frequencies and the sounds? Because also the big pyramid, the chamber of the king, where the king was to go to the sky, is also like a big resonating box. And there had been people that made recordings inside, and it's very interesting that they had this awareness of the sound properties of the acoustics of the buildings. That was like a big thing, and I suppose that was the thing that interested Zappa on this Fulcanelli, the thing that he was talking about, the music and the sound and the language of the birds, that is, like Ian says, a type of music.
So you're saying so that in a way, Fulcanelli was a
if you hear that, sometimes the solo also sounds a little like birds, like...
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But are you saying that Fulcanelli was a philosopher of sound?
Not really, but it is said that alchemists had a wider knowledge of what we think people knew in the Middle Ages or in the Renaissance, and like we are seeing now with the whole Chambord thing, is that they some ascended ones retrieve and knew a lot of things. Because another of the stories about Fulcanelli, one of his disciples, Eugène Cancellier, said that he met him in the 50s and also in the 30s. In the 30s, Fulcanier wanted to warn the atomic scientists in France to stop the experiments, because they say the alchemists knew about this force field and the effects of the force field. And that's also very interesting, because he's talking about force fields like iron. And in the 50s, he said he met him once more, and he had grown younger, and he was also androgynous, like the type of figures Leonardo da Vinci will always paint, the angels, Saint John, even La Mona Lisa, are very androgynous. And he says he looked like that, and younger. So I suppose Zappa will be interested in these aspects of the... of what he was saying about the music and the acoustic of the cathedrals.
So Fulcanelli was writing about medieval cathedrals and Egypt stuff, and noticing and commenting on the boxes. Is that what you just said?
Well, he was writing about the whole symbols hidden in the cathedrals. He said it was like a book of stone, but it's more than a book. It's really like an encyclopedia of the time they were built. Because, for example, in the glass windows in Notre Dame, some went broken during the Second World War, and they tried to make the to repair the glasses again, and they could never get the same colors, the blues and the reds. And there is one that survived that they say the glass is not transparent, and even in the night, it's like as if the glass captures the light like a LED or something. And in the night, they shine, and the other glasses that were repaired, you don't see anything if there is no sunlight. But these other older ones, they still shine, and they could never reproduce that. And I saw a program from the French television in the 60s. There was a guy hypnotizing the people that make the glasses to make them go back to the 12th century and retrieve these techniques. I don't know if they somehow had any success, but I found that very interesting because there are this type of anomalies that made me think of the drops. Like you say, scientists go and look what is inside, and they don't find anything.
Right.
But it's like the non-physical working with this person and helping the person create these anomalies. And many, many things, we see them and we don't even think how they did it, because they didn't have the tools we have, the machinery. It's tons of stones that had to get up very high. And there are some things that people, even the engineers now, wonder how did they did it, because in many cases the stones don't have any mortar. It's just the tension that holds everything together.
Mm.
And the Masons, the French Masons, many said that they knew these things from Egypt, in many groups of, I think in German, Handwerker, the craftsmen.
Yeah.
They will pass this type of knowledge to some initiates, and it was in the ceramics, in the glasses, in the metal, in the sculpting of stone, and many different aspects that had to do with the chemistry of the alchemy. And one of the most important was the work with the fire, the ovens. Because for some of their chemistry, they had to control the fire, and there is a lot of allusions to the fire. For example, the motto of the King Frank was "Nutrisco et extingo," and that means I feed the good fire and stop the bad one. And also the salamander was a symbol like the lions and the eagles of fire. And it's very funny because Volcan is the god of the volcanoes of fire, and Anelli means rings. So Vulcanelli actually means like ring of fire. That it's another thing that I has been talking about.
Yeah.
And
did you say the word
I
photon?
I know always is.
Did you say the word Vulcan. Photon? Oh, Vulcan. For Vulcanelli is.
Yeah, like volcano, Vulcan.
Oh, okay, Vulcan.
All right. And And also, I don't always ask you to play Vestal, Goodman, and the Vestals were the priestess of the fire.
Right.
They will, like Marie Antoinette,
yeah.
get the oracles, the knowledge, by reading or listening to the fire.
Right.
And that's the name of the favorite singer of Iandom, the Vestal.
Yes, yeah, good point. She fits into the system. Her name fits the system.
Yes, and that's the amazing thing with all these hints that we get in many things.
Yeah.
But the problem is, like Fulcanelli said, you won't get everything in the books, in the Book of Stone, or with the teachers, or going to the different places and studying the buildings and all the symbols. There is the thingness, the non-physical, that has to somehow communicate with you. And that can be in dreams or some intuition, whatever. And people have been trying to encrypt all the system of cathedrals and castles, like Fulcanelli. And have
yeah.
all these wild theories, what that means, what they were built, and blah, 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 and what is the Magnus Opus, and what are they trying to achieve. But the moving thing is that until now with Dion, we know what all these things really mean.
Yeah.
And it's like with the Bible, the Revelation, and the Emerald Tablets. He explained what it really means, and now he's going also into this system of encyclopedias of stone. And it was
yeah.
not only like Canelli thought the cathedrals and then the castles. It's also the alignments, like I mentioned also the ley lines. It's really impressive how these things are, the proportions of things and how they connect and how they're aligned. And it's also in the decorations of the places and the art and the gardens. So it was put everywhere.
Mm.
Like in Chambord.
Right. You're saying one of Fulcanelli's books was called The Book of Stone, right?
No. One was the Mystery of the Cathedrals, and in that book he explained how the cathedrals are like a book of stone where
oh, I
people
see.
Would
right.
put
it's
the
a
knowledge they.
Yeah, because
yeah.
today, Ion at one point made a big deal out of the word stone, as if he knew that we were going
yeah,
to talk about stone.
The stone is the stone, is the thing. Is what the philosophers are looking for. The
right,
alchemists
now,
they are looking for.
Did you, right, the philosopher's stone. Did you mention this in your questions with Ion, did you mention the Book of Stone phrase? Before he mentioned stone later.
He
may have.
No, I don't think so.
I'm not sure. Yeah.
No.
Because Ion knows that stone is a theme. He knew today the stone theme, so he emphasized it.
Hmm.
Just wanted to say
yes,
that.
Yes, because I wanted to say many things, and he will stop me. So I...
you screeched to a halt. But you have to remember that you don't want to list off too much with Ion, because he's thinking of people who are listening, and they tune out. Ion is always trying to be an effective communicator to a guaranteed or assumed audience, so he will stop you, and you have to go with that. I mean, it's very impressive what you list off, but it doesn't lead to a question or it. Scatters Ion's answer. So anyway, so we'll improve next time. So Falconelli is interested in this history, and it sounds like he's interested in acoustic space, and that would definitely interest Zappa. And Zappa, his piano, the voices are talking inside the piano, is like the box they found in the Egyptian pyramid. Is that what they did? They found a box that worked with sound?
No, the chamber of the king, it's also like a very special resonating box.
Mm.
And the thing is, it was empty and it was never a tomb. But
it was never what?
It's very interesting.
Never what?
How,
like, it was
a,
never
like
what?
A tomb.
A tomb, T-O-M-B.
Tomb, a place to...
It was not a tomb, is what you're saying. It was an active lab, laboratory. Yeah. When you listen to Lumpy Gravy back in 67, 68, some of the voices would say, drums are very noisy, it's hard to hide. Zappa would have the voices describing acoustic space in the box, inside the drum, inside the piano. That was a theme. It seemed that way to me because McLuhan was talking about acoustic space. But what you're describing is the effect that Lumpy Gravy had for me when we listened to it. He put you inside a box, and you're listening to these voices. What? Someone say something.
Wow, but no, he was both into the acoustic and the visual spaces.
Yes. From a tactile position, I'd say.
But the acoustic...
He actually was operating from a tactile position. Right, and playing with eye and ear.
The green language is very interesting because he said the real alchemists were the ones that mastered the language, like Joyce or Rabelais. Many of the hints and the keys the adepts will find in these symbols, many were... games with the words, things that were written in reverse or encoded in a way that it sounds similar or is not the complete word, and all the things that Joyce and Rabelais were doing with the language.
Yeah.
And Fulcanelli was a big admirer of Rabelais. And Rabelais was a big admirer of Margarita de Navarra. Margarita de Navarra, who was the sister of Frank I,
right,
was the one that published
the Zappa
of Rabelais.
Zappa wrote a song about Pantagruel or Gargantua. Maybe they can find it.
No, I don't know that.
Yeah, he has a Rabelais title in one of his compositions. But yeah, carry on. You were connecting Margarita.
Yes, and one of the things he presents is this language of the birds and how you will things will connect with the word that had like the same root. Like for example, I was playing with the word magnesium, or the root of the word is magnes, that in Greek means lover. That's why it's also used as a root of magnet. And
yeah.
This links with the force field, and I found that very, very nice, very beautiful, that the magnesium, that is like the main stone, the white stone, also has this root that means lover, the magnes. And from magnesium come all these words that translate the greatest, like the Magnificat, the Magnum, and the Magic. And for example, Rabelais has... I was telling you in one of the books, I think it's the fourth Pantagruel is a big giant, and he has to go to Ireland to look for a plant. And he writes the plant's name is Pantagruel and then Ion, Pantagruel Ion.
Right.
So when I saw that, I was like, whoa, because yes. He wanted to make an elixir to recover his power. And Rabelais and Nostradamus went together to the school. And that's the funny thing, that all these people link the king and Margaret, Nostradamus, Leonardo, Botticelli, Rabelais, and many others are all working together there in these castles and in the courts.
Are you saying are you saying that Rabelais knew Nostradamus?
Yeah, they went together to the school.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yes.
And they both had to be protected by Margarita. They were protected.
Yes. Yes, so that's the thing that is the most amazing, that in a way it's like they were working for Ireland, doing all this work. And for example, also in the Odyssey, the Argonauts,
yes.
Go from the island of Magnesia, that it really exists. Magnesia,
right?
They go there to look for the golden land.
Yeah.
I don't know how to say it in English.
The golden fleece.
But Fulcanelli was making this example of the language, the green language, or the language of the birds. He said, "L'art gothique, the Gothic art, comes from the Argonauts, the art gothique."
Right.
And then he talks about this story, how the Argonauts go from the island of Magnesia to look for the golden land. So
wow.
It's very, yeah, it's somehow surprising and moving, because these are all things that Dion talks about, and how these archetypes are in the Odyssey too, for example, or in the books of Pantagruel. And there is another part in the books of Pantagruel, Gargantua and Pantagruel, in which they're in a type of perfect convent, and the only rule is that there are no rules. And in the entrance, it says, "Fais ce que voudras," like, do what you want, and the convent is called Telema. So I think Crowley also sort of retrieved the idea of the Telema and do what you want. And like Ion said, he had no idea what he was doing. But they already had this thing of there are no rules. Because in this perfect place where everybody's like ascended, everything is harmonious. There is no law. Everybody does things right, so there are no conflicts, and there is no necessity of rules.
Right. That's right. That's pretty good. I'm just looking up. Listen to this. It says, in Zappa's album, The Grand Wazoo, was released in 1972 by the late Frank Zappa. This jazz comedy fusion album was created when Zappa was recuperating from severe injuries. It involved characters like the funky emperor Cletus Arletus Aretus and Mediocrates, his archenemy from a neighboring province, and the Questions, an aesthetic, music-hating underground movement. The busy cover art depicts the battle between Gargantua and Picciola, a connected series of five novels written in the 16th century by Rabelais, regarded as an avant-garde writer of fantasy satire, the grotesque, dirty jokes, and body songs, rather like Zappa himself. The story is of two giants, a father, Gargantua, and his son, Pantagruel, and their adventures with crudity and scatological humor, violence, and vulgar insights. The cover depicts Aretas and Mediocrates and their soldiers in battle, with Mediocrates' troops getting blown away by the deadly mystery horn. All right, so they're saying Pantagruel's in the cover. I don't know if they're projecting that, or I don't know where they get that in the album cover. I don't see where Zappa mentions Pantagruel. Maybe you have to look at the essay, the footnotes. Hey, Bert, do you have anything you want to say?
I know that I remember reading or hearing that Frank was a chemist, a chemistry, because he blew up toilets when he was in high school.
As a kid.
There is a chemistry connection, yes.
When he was a kid, that was his first interest, was chemistry. Yeah, I mean, he was before high school, I think.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes, and he loved playing with mercury, and mercury is also Hermes Trismegistus, the writer of the Emerald Tablet. And the King Frank was always painting himself as mercury.
Right.
Are
you still here, Alyssa? Did you want to say something? Maybe she got knocked out. Let's check that. There's some people here. Is that you, Alyssa?
Hello. I fell out.
Okay. Sorry. Did you want to say something about what we're saying?
Yes. When I fell out, I'm not sure if you covered this, Roxy, but I was on the wiki for Falconelli, and there's a paragraph in there that says when Berger, who's the French guy, when he met Falconelli, he asked him about the Philosopher's Stone. And it says that Falconelli answered, the vital thing is not the transmutation of metals, but that of the experimenter himself. It is an ancient secret that a few people rediscover each century. Unfortunately, only a handful are successful. And then later on in the wiki, there's a paragraph about the phonetic Kabbalah, and that's what his term was for the special use of language.
That's neat. Yeah. Phonetic Kabbalah. Hey, Roxy. Roxy, you're breaking up. Could you call back in? Maybe that'll make a better connection.
Yeah.
Because you've probably been on here a long time, so we're not being able to hear what you say. So we'll wait. We'll wait for you to come in. Like, are you on the phone or on Skype? Roxy, are you on Skype or phone? Oh, maybe she already is doing it. Let's see. You're there, Bert, right? Bert and Alyssa are here.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Yes.
So I guess she's going to... Okay, there it is. Is that you, Roxy? You just came in? Yes, Roxy.
Hello. Yes, Cabado means court in Latin, and he would write Cabada, not with K, but with C.
It's not working, Roxy. Roxy, it's not working. Maybe I will call
Roxy,
you and bring you in.
It seems like a battery.
Roxy, I'm going to call you on my phone and bring you in this way. Okay, Roxy? I'm going to bring you in my phone.
Yeah.
All right?
Okay.
So hang up and I'll call you and bring you in. All right. So okay, so, Bert, Roxy, are you there? Speak again.
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yes.
So, what were you saying, Roxy? You were trying to say something, you know, a minute ago.
Yes, that Fulcanelli said about the word caval, he will write it like cavallo, like he, as an example of the green language or the bird language, because he said the words are like the horse of Troy that have a lot of other meanings, and that's the thing with playing with the words, how you can change or connect the words to encrypt things and give different levels of meanings. And Fulcanelli said in Rabelais there is a lot of secret knowledge. And also Rabelais in the preface of the books, he said you may get a lot of fun from the jokes, but it's not about the story. There is other type of things going on, and he warns the people, the audience, that they can get into these deeper levels of meaning, of the symbols, of the words, how he's...
Well, does he explain it?
Words.
Does Fulcanelli explain the deeper levels?
He gives examples of what he meant by morphing words, or they had not only the double entendre,
right,
but the multiple entendre. And because, like, there were many things, like, for example, in alchemy, they had symbols like the lion or the eagle, the salamander, which is the salt, and many things like that. And they will put these words in connection with other things. And the people who knew about this could then get the esoteric meaning besides the funny story, the satire that he... And it's very interesting because...
Hold it, Roxy, I got to tell you something. You mentioned the satire. Menippean satire, which was a specialty by the grammarian alchemist, Eric McClellan will say that the grammarian would let off steam by doing a Menippean satire. Now, letting off steam would be... He has to hold in the secret knowledge among the little people. So then he says, the hell with it. I'll write this crazy book and put the secret knowledge in the satire. So that's that's the point. They would show, the secret knowledge would be in a satire. That's the only way they would present it, because it would look like the guy wasn't serious. So you're pointing out Rabelaisian satire, Zappa satire. It's all Menippean, and it does involve the secrets.
And Joyce.
And Joyce, yes.
Mm.
And Ion.
Yes. Wow.
Ion
yes,
is very Menippean. And Veroni.
Yes, it's yes. The mastery of the... Really, it's amazing how they put all these things in the story without the people who is not aware of all the things they're revealing. They put in... things like Ion says in plain sight, always, 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 always. There, everything is there.
Yeah.
Like magnesium.
Talking about this there.
Yes.
Yeah, it developed the magnesium. Roxy came up with this interesting idea that everything comes from magnesium, which means lover or something. But magnificent.
Yeah.
Magus. Magna. She does a bunch of puns on that. Explain that a little bit. Just for the record, Roxy, what you've discovered about magnesium and magnificent.
Yes, because I wanted to give an example of what Fulcanelli is talking about when one connects the words or change. I endorse that a lot. Like,
right.
It sounds like he's saying a word, but it's not really that word, or it's another word that sounds like.
Yeah, you think he's making a mistake, but he means it. He means the what sounds like a mistake.
Yeah.
Yes, actually, that's the language of thought, or the language of the words.
Yeah.
That's the mastery. And the people who know, like maybe he's saying that for people like Saint Martin or Saint Germain, they will get these other meanings from what Dion is saying.
Well, Zappa says in Uncle Meat that the lyrics are always inside jokes. It's always inside joking. And you're saying they would have inside jokes for Martin and Saint Martin and Germain. There'd be inside jokes they'd get. It's like it's entertainment. This famous book, Rabelais, Tanagruel, and these other books he did are just little notes from a salon, a literary salon or a verbal salon. And then somebody writes it down, and then
here's
everybody
something
has
that
to
ties.
Study it. Go ahead.
Here's something that ties into the magnesium and the play on that word again. It's kind of an in plain sight type of thing, but again, from the Wikipedia, it says, according to Walter Lang, who wrote an introduction to the English translation of Falconeri's Le Mystère de Cathédrale, the basic principles of the phonetic Kabbalah are restored in his magnum opus. So that's using that very, like, out in the open term, but that... When you look that word up, it's just, that's really important.
That's what you got to ask Ion, Roxy. You have to ask, is the word magnesium the root for a lot of these other terms? You got to ask him that. And just say
yes,
it that simply. Just say it that simply.
Yes, okay. But I know it is. Because that the magnus opus is like what Zappa was talking about, this... conceptual continuity, not only of all the things you do, but all the things that link with the works that from the people that came behind, and the people that built the cathedrals were very aware of that everything, all this programming of the environment was a teamwork.
Yeah.
Nobody would sign the
right.
thing. It was all a collective.
Yeah. And that's another group that Ion has talked a lot about, the Freemasons coming from the pyramid temple building back in the Egyptian times, which Moses was one of the leaders of.
For me, it's really moving because the whole thing that people have been doing since Egypt, the whole conceptual continuity, the big work, is called the Opus Magnus.
Right, right.
And it has the the root of the magnesium. Which is actually the Opus Magnus is the completion in Iron Dome.
Right. And it's interesting we're saying this while Carol's getting has now got a book out in China. What is MAG? What's the root of magnesium? What does mag mean in Latin or Greek?
I'm not sure, but there is the word magnes.
Magnus, okay. Because magnesium is very important in the body. It's the element that holds together the body, it seems to me. So that should be a metaphor for love or the non-physical.
And there is also lithium. Lithium is the stone.
Oh.
And from there comes magnesium.
Right.
So the word stone is there.
And I was telling Roxy the other day, let me say this, Alyssa, in Phineas Wake, Issy has 28 girls dancing around her, and they're called the Maggies. M-A-G-G-I-E-S. Mm. So Joyce got the it's a key term.
28?
And there's 28 girls. Yeah, 28. They're like the phases of the moon or something like that. Different meaning, feminine meaning.
Yes, and it's also the prefix or the root of the words that mean degraded.
Yeah.
Like
they mean Bob.
Magnitude.
Mag comes from Bob.
Like Frank Zappa was making this joke with the magnitude.
Okay, you take M.
The major,
listen to this, guys. Is the 13th letter. That's 1-3. 1 from 3 is 2. And that's B. Now,
and
A is 1. And then G is 7. So you add 7 and 1, you get 8. And we know 3 times, 2 3 times is 8. That's 2, 2. That's B. It's pretty close to Bob.
Yes, your magnitude. But also, it reminds us of Mac Lewin.
This
type of games with the words, all these things that link in your mind.
Yes.
This is how the hermetic knowledge is given to you. Like you might make an association of a symbol, of a letter, or something, and it's something meant like for you. That's the like the magic. Like
your talisman, you mean?
No, like for example, I would say Mac reminds me of Mac Lewin.
Oh yeah.
That's how many things were discovered and linked, like this type of.
Right. Let me ask Alyssa. Are you on a delay? You seem to be a little out of. You respond at the wrong time. Are you on a delay? Do you think?
I didn't say anything.
No. A few minutes ago. Are you on through the computer? Can that be on delay?
I'm on Skype.
Is that delayed?
Is that delayed?
All right. You seem to be slightly on delay, but we'll take that into a fact. Here's what I noticed in Carol's life decades ago. I said, Carol, why do you keep having as colleagues or co-workers or provokers of you, Margaret? Why is Margaret or Peggy in your whole life all the time? I used to wonder about that. She attracted Margaret in every fucking endeavor she was involved in. It would involve a Peggy or a Margaret. So
that's how the environment also speaks to you in a way. The alchemists were aware of this type of communication with the thingness.
Well, see, look, I'm there noticing that Margaret is around Carolyn a lot. And then I read in Finney's Wake that Issy has the girls around her named Maggie. That sounds like Carolyn and the Margarets. See, that's how I start putting things together, these crazy things that showed up.
And, for example, for an alchemist like Fulcanelli, they will say that was put there for you.
Yes. Yeah.
For you to...
Now, I had something to add to that. When Fulcanelli says that alchemy is not lead from stone, not the mineral elements, or working in a lab or something, or a furnace, it is your own personal transformation. I say the Luddites, the guys who can't fucking tie their shoelaces, couldn't make a bicycle, the non-technical guys, they go for the idea that alchemy is personal transformation. And it's the gadget lovers, the mechanics, the guys who can do things with objects, they go for the material lead into gold, literally. So Ion does both. Ion does machinic inventions like cold play and food inventions like subtle plants like RNA drops, plus personal transformation. Ion does both. Both paths are within Iondom. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, and the wonderful thing with the whole Opus Remagnus,
yeah,
that it's how things things evolve, all the craft and the arts and the science, with this idea of the alchemist, perfection in reaching the completion and,
right. And you know,
the stone.
We have remag, relight, and it became remite and realign and rebob and whatever other one that left out. These were all insisted on by Ion.
Renew.
Ion insisted. What? What, Bert? Did I leave one out?
Renew.
Yeah, renew. And Ion always insisted that whatever we named when we'd have our meetings to figure out the name of something, he'd always have the R-E in there. Because, as you quoted a couple hours ago, he knew this was a replay, but it would work this time. But he acknowledged
yes,
that it was a replay.
Damn.
And also
damn.
The word...
damn! Let Bert wallow with the fucking epiphany.
Yeah,
let's see if Bert can recover.
No, because my week turned around with that. That my week has been turning around, that everything's already been done. So that's...
Right.
To hear that, that's like a statement or...
We're summing up the means. Yeah, we're summing up what you went through this week. We're naming.
I had a lot of things fall through for me with questions. So that's a stamp you just gave me. That's why I said that.
Yeah. What do you mean fall through? Things didn't happen.
Well, I just got to go impersonal, but I've had some questions that I'm looking for Ion, and then I've discovered in the archive the answers. And it all comes down to it's already been already done.
Right. As you're talking about, it's already been said. Yeah, so what were you saying,
yes.
Roxy, your next idea?
Yes, that this type of phonetic similarities and symbolic connections are very important for the initiate. It's like they see through these things and they get the deeper levels of meaning of. Like I was saying, lately the Renaissance has been in my environment a lot.
Yeah.
And there's, again, the Renaissance, the reborn.
Yes, Renaissance.
The rebop.
Yeah, and it started. A few weeks ago, you went to the Botticelli exhibition, and then you just found out Botticelli did something with Margaret or somebody?
No, Botticelli was a friend of Leonardo, and they both had a restaurant.
Oh, wow.
And before, the kitchen and the lab were the same thing. There was not, like, I had my lab and my kitchen.
Right.
The kitchen was the laboratory.
And back in Greek culture,
big thing
you know what they were? You know what they were before that? It was always medicine. You look... Thucydides was the father of history, first historian in literacy. He considered his role as a historian, he was being a medical doctor by telling people what happened. It's all medicine, which goes back to the pre-literate Aboriginal peoples with plants, and that was medicinal. The knowledge comes from the plants or whatever they work with in their natural environment. That is the core. Everything was medicine, therapy. The restaurant, the food, the music. It comes from medicine. Think of that.
Yes. And for example, since Pergamon.
That's why they were called doctors. You're called a doctor because, you know, you're a doctor of economics. Economics is important. It heals millions.
In Pergamon, the temple was also the hospital.
That's really good.
You see the symbol of the caduceus in a lot of the castles in La Loire.
Right.
And also Frank the First has in many paintings the caduceus.
And Zappa called himself Dr. Zircon in Happy Valley. That was on his laboratory door in 1970. Z-U-R-K-O-N. Dr. Zircon in Happy Valley. Now, go back. So when you listen, Alyssa, to what you miss, you're going to hear somebody asking some questions. And Ion links it to Pergamon, one of the banking centers way back there. And Roxy was on to Pergamon after we went to one of the museums in August 2014.
Yes, because the thing is, through the symbols, you can also see where things originate.
Yeah.
like they say the priesthood of Babylon moved to Pergamon, and you see the same type of symbols of ornamentation. And another big thing in Pergamon was the Holocaustus, which means sacrifice with fire. And they have a bull where they put the people and they burn it inside, and the bull seemed to be alive because the people were shouting inside being burned.
Mm. Wow.
And that's the Holocaustus. And Hitler, they retrieved the Pergamon. They brought it here to Berlin, and Albert Speer made the Hitler Tribune in Nuremberg as a bigger Pergamon.
Right.
And they also had this type of sacrifice there.
In the chat line, Roxy, someone noticed that Ian was talking about Hitler while talking to you, and you're just telling us now the reason, right, because of the Pergamon. But you listened, Alyssa. Out of nowhere, Ion links into whatever the person was asking about, links into Pergamon, which goes right back to Roxy and all that stuff she was saying 8 months ago about Pergamon.
Mm. Wow.
That's where Ion's a supreme memory. Ion remembers, you know, what was said 2 years ago, and then finally it's retrieved and pointed right now when someone's talking about magnesium or something. That's the great integrative composition that Ion's making. And this
Do you think that the golden calf that is happening during the Moses and the tablets and all that is related to this golden calf or lamb, or is there some similarity there?
The lamp? You mean the lampstand or something else? What golden calf? What is it related to?
The golden fleece that Roxy was talking about with the Argonaut.
Right. Ion has done a lot on the golden calf. I mean, basically, Moses came back down and they were all dancing around him. So he forced them to burn. He said, you're either my side or the gold side. And so they took their choice, and then they melted down the gold, and the guys that didn't go with Moses were forced to drink the scalding gold. The very thing that they were worshiping, they had to drink. And they all died from that. Mm. But I don't know if it says how Moses, how did he get the upper hand? What did he do? He wrestled them all, he killed a few of them. You know, I haven't read the exact Bible story, but I've heard Ian go into the details. I don't know how Moses got into position to make people do that. You know, either with me or against me. And if you're against me, we're going to kill you. I mean, why did he have the advantage?
Yes, and that's the thing with the initiates of alchemy. Like, they can see this big picture and how things connect in these amazing ways in different works.
Right. Now, let me tell you about Zappa in relation to initiation. Ike Willis told me, and he was a major member and the later members of the band, he goes around and plays with the cover bands, a lot of the Zappa cover bands. And he teaches them, so the gift they get by inviting Ike to be in their cover band is that he tells them the secret parts of Zappa's instruction. He knows what Zappa told secretly. And he told me, I don't know if he tells it all, but he knows how to impart the secret part of Frank so the band can be better. So there's the initiation right there, that Ike is the carrier of.
Yes, and actually, the more you study these things, you see that actually the major scientists and artists and everybody was really into these arts.
Yeah.
And it's not known, but for example, we mentioned that Botticelli and Leonardo had a restaurant and their kitchen was a laboratory, and there is this conspiracy thing. They say Botticelli was one of the masters of the Zion.
Of the what?
The secret society, the Zionists, the Zion.
Zion, Z-I-O-N, yeah, or
and
S-I-O-N.
And he gave the leadership to Leonardo. And that's how I learned that they had a restaurant together.
Yeah.
That they were very close friends.
So look at Zappa, making these incredible advances with the Synclavier and other technology going back 20 years. He's always in the forefront of new electronic apparatus. And he invented other things, all that invention. So what does he have himself photographed as? Wearing a cooking glove.
He also has pictures as a witch in the kitchen.
Yes. And what was his studio? It was called Dr. Zircon's Happy Lab. Dr. Zircon's Happy Something in Happy Valley.
The Muffin Kitchen or something like that.
Yeah. What he later changed to when he got a bigger, more advanced studio, it was called the Utility Muffin Research Kitchen. You know, Muffin
Man. That's an alchemist laboratory.
Yeah. Utility.
He was working with
Muffin Research Kitchen. I don't think any scientist would add the word kitchen to their institute. McCune didn't call it the Center for Culture Technology Kitchen, but Zappa added the word kitchen. It's not like he was retrieving what you're talking about, Leonardo and Botticelli. They knew it was a kitchen, which then leads to Eigenden,
yes.
Who said, from day one, said, Bob, we got to make a better candy. We can make millions, Bob. He's always trying to seduce me to make a better candy. He was in the kitchen from day one.
Well, the whole religion... It makes a lot of allegories around food, the
yes.
wine, the bread.
Which was the original therapy.
The manna, the blood, and...
food was the original therapy. You know, like, let's say somebody falls, so they have to give them a substance, and that would be food. And so food was not meant for hunger. It was meant for a fucked-up situation. Hunger was a fallen state, so you had to give them food to get them out of the state. They didn't sit around making up cakes and banana splits. The ascended don't eat. And that's the majesty of the Holy Mass. Jesus presents the basic acts of eating as his core symbolic ritual. The Last Supper, the Mass. There it is, food. The first medium, first technology.
Yes, and one of the things that was produced in Urbino, your city in
Italy. Yeah, my temple. I did well there.
Was the majolica is this type of ceramic that is like shiny, like for mosaics and for vases. Very, very beautiful things. And they also made ovens, and one of the ovens that was made in Urbino is one of these castles of the one of the 12 castles called Dampierre that is full of hermetic symbols everywhere, and it's interesting that an oven from Urbino is there and is mentioned by Fulcanelli. And
an orphan. Who's the orphan?
No, oven.
Oh, the oven, the kitchen.
Oven.
Is it oven?
Right. And Ian's always talking about Hansel and Gretel. Didn't they end up in the oven? Yes, they were fattened up and eaten, weren't they?
Yes.
The breadcrumb.
There are this type of hints to places that at the beginning it might attract your attention and you say, oh, what a beautiful oven. Very nice, because I love majolica and mosaics. And then I learned it was made in Urbino.
Wow.
And then you told me you...
I was
you
one of the
there.
Guys. I was one of the Dukes of Urbino, and I'll be playing more details on that tonight, I think. Now, what
yes, and in that city has a very long tradition of alchemists and prophets, and there was a Frederick the First one in Urbino. He had very famous alchemist advisors.
Mm.
And
yeah, Ezra Pound makes a big deal out of that temple, that place, Urbino, in his cantos. And he and then there's this battle between Urbino and Malatesta, or they work together, I can't remember. Malatesta.
Yes, and one of them developed, he was a converted Jew.
Mm-hmm.
He developed the a triangle, the tetragrammaton, and the tetractys.
Yeah, the like tetractys, yeah.
You know, this point, and two, and then three,
yeah.
And then four.
Yeah.
And that was like everything that everybody was using for many different types of triangulations and I don't know what.